You know, one thing I love about having Walter lead worship with me is when it comes time for that prayer of confession and the silence, he gives me time to enumerate all my sins. Sometimes I think people think more highly of us than perhaps they should because they don't give us enough time. And I'm here to say, Walter, you know us well. This is the second of our stewardship messages. You may remember last week we talked about the three prongs this year of stewardship. We covered last week attitude. This week we're talking about aptitude. Next week, oddly enough, right before Thanksgiving, we'll be talking about gratitude. Aptitude, the ability to do something. I have a great cousin of mine. He's a great friend, and he's always available to come and help me with projects around the house. He's a retired millwright, so he understands things about plumbing and electricity and propane and structural stuff. Last week I was in the in the midst of a very difficult project. I was installing grab bars in the bathroom. This involves tools and measurements and markings and drilling and screwing and leveling. You didn't know that much went into it, did you? Well, Mike Brown knows, yeah. Of course Mike Brown knows. So, being industrious one day, I decided I can do this. And I went and I got the grab bars from Home Depot, or as I call it, Home Despair. And I've got out all the parts and pieces and the covers and the screws. And I read the instructions. And I couldn't understand a word. So I called Robert. Now, Robert is a Cajun, a show-nuff Cajun. Like, you have to work at understanding what he's saying because there is this lilting Cajun, Acadian accent to his words. And I said, Robert, can you come help me hang some grab bars? And he, well, on the phone, said, well, you can't do that. What? You can't do that? No, I can't. Well, I could, but it will be a mess. So Robert came over and looked at the instructions for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds. And then he said, get the level, get a pencil, get a drill with a, I've forgotten, some little bitty bit. He says, get a screwdriver and a, did I say level also? Okay, you need that too. So I went and gathered up such things as I had. Robert took one look at my tools and he said, that won't do. I have a lot of tools, but there's stuff I've bought at, you know, estate sales and that kind of stuff. Robert goes out to his truck, which is essentially a field hospital for the home mechanic. He's got everything in there except a space shuttle. He spends 45 seconds gathering tools out of his truck, and he comes in and he manages to guide me through hanging the grab bars. We had three of them to do. It took about 4 hours. Because Robert didn't do it. I'm going to learn you how to do this. Well, I think I am pretty much experienced now. I can hang grab bars. I have that now, along with a lot of humility. in my tool chest, my aptitude inventory. Now, most of us are familiar with aptitude inventories because we had to take tests in order to discover what our aptitudes were. How many of us had to do that before you went to college or before you graduated? Okay, there's a bunch of you, and there's a few liars out there, I can tell. So, I took my aptitude tests, and my counselor, when the results came back, said, "Well, you read well." I said, "Yeah." She said, "You don't do math at all." I said, "That's correct." She said, "Your critical thinking skills are nil." Oh. And she went on down my list of non-aptitudes. And by the time I left her office, I was almost clinically depressed. She said, "Them what can't do, teach. Them what can't teach, preach." Here I am. I have learned to celebrate what aptitudes I have and not worry too much about those that I don't, because I have resources. I have a Robert in my life to fix things that I can't. I have a Vicky in my life who has marvelous critical thinking skills and knows how to operate a computer, and praise Jesus, she writes the checks, because that's not one of my aptitudes. Let me suggest to you that in our aptitudes for stewardship, we are not alone. We have the resources of the body of Christ, which is the church. We don't have to bear the burden of the church all by ourselves. We bear it together as the body of Christ. And there's this marvelous math that is attached to the body of Christ, and that is the dollars we give are mysteriously multiplied to the point where we have enough. I know the finance committee is always going to worry, do we have enough to keep the doors open? In case you haven't noticed, the doors are open. Do we have enough to pay the preacher? I haven't gone hungry yet. Do we have enough to keep the little free pantry full? Well, I don't know about that. It gets emptied out pretty quick. But we always have a group of people willing to fill it up. You see, the aptitude of stewardship, this gracious aptitude, is not contingent upon any one of us doing it all. We do it all together. And when we get that gracious aptitude mindset about us, the realization that we do all of this together, that is when things get done. I love our Old Testament lesson today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? You know, light is an important thing in all of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the first thing he said was, "Let there be light." And there was. And the Lord saw that it was good. Light illumines our path. Light allows us to see where we are and what needs to be done. God continually reveals to us the path and the portion that is ours in service. The Lord will show us what we need to do. We don't need to worry about that. It is always there. And the Lord will equip us through any dangers or trials or tribulations which we may have. In our epistle lesson for today, this is a very familiar one. Paul says, I have these thorns given to me by Satan to keep me from boasting too much. And I don't know how much theological and sociological ink has been spilled trying to decide what those three thorns are. I have heard it said that Paul was suffering from gender dysphoria. I have heard it said that Paul was struggling with his sexual identity. I've heard that Paul was an alcoholic. I've heard that Paul was a pedophile. I have heard that any problem you can think of in the wide panoply of human distortion, Paul had it. And you know what? He never tells us what it is. Why? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Paul was able to rise above whatever those thorns were by the power of God, and he did it humbly. Part of our aptitude is a willingness to move beyond the things that would hold us back. Every single one of us has a litany of poor choices, mistakes, misstatements, and outright lies that weigh on our souls. If you don't have a well of shame in your life that you go back to time and time again, let me know. I'll be glad to share mine with you. It's pretty deep and it never runs dry. But the thing about aptitude is it calls us to move beyond our wells of shame, and no matter what would threaten to hold us back, to keep our eyes on that light that is shown to us in creation, that light which is shown to us in the beginning of John's gospel, in him was light, and the darkness has never put it out. That light which is shared in the revelation to St. John, where the end of all time is wrapped up in that glorious light of God, where the sun is not needed anymore and there is no shadow of doubt. And to cap it all off, we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This comes right after the lawyer comes up to him and says, what do I need to do to be, or who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. You know, it's after that dialogue there. And then Jesus cuts to the chase and he says, you know, if you want to follow me, it's not a free ride. There are going to be difficulties in life. There are going to be moments of despair. There are going to be times when your anchor's not going to hold and you're going to be drifting on a stormy sea, but you don't need to worry about that because I have got your back. But you have to have the right set of priorities. You have to have the right set of visions in order to participate in the kingdom. Take up your cross and follow. That was actually a pretty common vision back in Jesus' time. It wasn't but about 120 years earlier that there had been a rebellion against Rome. And I believe his name was Varus, was the governor at that time. And he demanded that 1,000 people be crucified outside and on the road to Jerusalem. And then the Roman legions came in the fall of Rome after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, and they crucified more. And you could see this long procession of people carrying their cross pieces heading toward the place of execution. It was a familiar sight. And that's why Jesus uses this image. not necessarily a foretelling of his own death, but a reference to a common sight. They understood what this meant, to take up your cross and follow. It means to put yourself second or third and put the affairs of the kingdom and the will of God first and foremost. Thankfully, not all of us are called to be martyrs. Not all of the apostles died by way of execution. Some did, but some went on to live old and fruitful lives and to establish the church in the far, far corners. St. Thomas took the church to India and, we believe, to China. And others did similarly. St. John, we think, lived to a ripe old age and taught the disciples in the aging church to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord, saying, "We don't know when it's going to come, but it will. Until then, little children, love one another." You see, our gracious aptitude lies in our ability to change gears and see where the Lord is leading us, and to be determined enough to follow in spite of the thorns in our sides and perhaps the emotional, mental crosses we must bear, but also to remember that those wells of shame don't need to wear us down. We are called to live and to live graciously. And so we come, knowing that not a single one of us has to bear this burden alone. We bear it all together as the body of Christ. And when we add our abilities, our gifts, our dreams, and our hopes, well, quite truly, the sky is the limit to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, so often we think we got to do it all ourselves, and we forget that we are part of a great team of those who are here and those who have gone before and those who will come after. So help us to remember that our aptitude does not lie solely on us. It is us together. And of course, it is us with you, our greatest resource of all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.